Welcome, friends, to The Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, a director here at the Generations Ministry, and Bill Jack, Mobley Academy, is in studio with me today as we bring a biblical worldview to bear on all areas of life. And Bill, I think at points people may be a bit offended that we spend time on politics or geopolitics, but it's essential that we bring a biblical view to politics and geopolitics so people understand that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we want to acknowledge that he is involved in history.
Yeah. And you know, my mama always said that people can get glad in the same pants they got mad in. So just hang with us and bear with us on this, and we'll be
so happy. If you get mad, just
get
hang
glad.
Out here and get glad. Okay, that's a good way to put it. You know, I have a lot of my mama's wisdom is still in me as well, but we'll not go there right now. Psalm 2 refers to Jesus on the right hand of the Father. It says, you shall break them with a rod of iron. Speaking of Jesus, that he will break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces, meaning the empires, the kings of the earth. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. So there is instruction here to the kings of the earth. And I think it's appropriate for pastors, Christians, to stand and say, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. He's in charge. He's not taking a vacation for, you know, a millennium or two. He's not on vacation. He truly is on the right hand of the Father.
He's not like the Baals. Yeah. Were they asleep? Did they not hear your prayers?
And you got to scream and scream and cut and cut and cut and hope that somehow they'll somehow connect. No, no. Jesus is very much involved. He's involved with his church. He's involved with us.
And he hears just the whisper of your prayer.
But he is over the kings of the earth. And I think Revelation 19 is something of a fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2. In fact, it's interesting. I just put this together just before we came on air, Bill. On the one hand, you know, be wise, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. He shall break them with a rod of iron and such. Well, Revelation 19 says, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. So there it is, the same rod of iron you find in Psalm 2. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe, Bill, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords today, as he will be until the end of time. So, friends, that's the way in which we apply our understanding of what is going on in geopolitics. As we begin to see the stars of the sky more or less falling, as we see the shaking of the world, as we see the geopolitical balance of power shifting, and we see it. But I think it's happening right now, and I'll demonstrate that economically speaking, using economic statistics in just a moment. But this article from the Federalist, I think, is a sit-up-and-pay-attention sort of article. You've got it on your laptop right there, Bill, and I think it's important that we mention this. As Christians, I think we should know what's going on around us so that we know what Jesus is doing. Because remember, he's in charge of the nations and the balance of powers worldwide. He's in charge. So the Federalist talks about a united Europe aligning with China. That would be a disaster for the United States. That's what he's saying here. Under no scenario would a unified European Union aligned with China be in the interest of the United States. Joseph Borrell, a former Spanish socialist and current high representative of the European Union, this guy recently argued that the EU needs to be strategically independent. Here's the quote from Joseph Borrell, the Spanish socialist and high representative of the European Union. It is foreseen that in 20 years, we, the EU, will not represent more than 11% of the world GNP, far behind China, which will represent double that, meaning 22%, below 14% for the United States and at par with India, Borrell wrote, adding the next two decades would be critical because China will use them to become the first global power. That is, China will become the number one global power on earth.
Right.
And that will shift everything. That will shift the language. That will shift, we'll all be speaking Chinese. By the way, how do you say, what can I do for you, my Chinese master in Mandarin? Do you know how to say
it? Oh, you just bow.
Just bow. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want to know how to say.
Just prostrate yourself.
Just prostrate. Okay. Yeah. I think we all need to figure out how to say, what can I do for you, my Chinese master, in Mandarin? So just keep that in mind. Burrell's statement, according to this article in the Federalist, Burrell's statement is illuminating. For the first time, a high-ranking politician of the EU has publicly stated that the rise of China as the premier power of the world is not just happening, it's an inevitability. This implies forebodingly a decline of the United States. Now, despite European academics warning against such action, the European Union is inviting China for an investment deal, much to Washington's impotent displeasure. Germany is proceeding with Huawei's access in its 5G sector. True, after joint American-Australian pressure, Britain gave up on the Huawei deal earlier this year, but Germany stepped in. And Germany is insisting on sticking with Huawei should be a clear sign to Washington, D.C. that real tangible power has shifted. As the Wall Street Journal recently reported, listen to this, the biggest victory in the United States lobbying campaign against Huawei came in the U.K., which has banned the purchase of Huawei's technology beginning in January. Yet, the German decision, led personally by Angela Merkel, has a gesture to the United States, quote, marks a setback for the outgoing U.S. administration, which has lobbied European allies to reject Chinese technology. You see, what's happening is the EU is moving towards China. Ergo, Germany is moving towards China.
Right.
The EU is moving towards China. UK, at least for the time being, is sticking with the United States.
Yeah. And that shouldn't be surprising. I mean, look what happened during World War II, you know?
No, that happened as well, right.
Yeah.
But UK has always been somewhat connected to the United States, largely because of our Protestant background.
Right.
Largely because of the Pilgrims and Puritans, largely because, well, I guess these were their colonies, so there's still something of affinity. But I think there's also something of a Christian affinity. And certainly Winston Churchill sensed that, but Bill, I think that's disappearing quickly.
Yeah. And it's being dissolved in secular thought.
All right, I want to take a break, Bill, and when we come back, we're going to look at the facts. What's going on? Is China now the world power, the world economic power? Pretty much. Pretty much. We'll demonstrate that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast as we talk about the geopolitical shifts that are happening, my friends. And wow, what a significant shift has happened in just the last 30 years. In 1980, the United States economy was, get this, 2.5 times larger than Soviet Union. Meaning we were huge. Much larger than the Soviet Union. The American economy, that is the American GDP, was 2.5 times larger than the Soviet Union. And remember, we were in the Cold War at that time. In 1980, also the United States was, get this, 15 times larger than the Chinese economy. In other words, the Chinese economy was sort of a banana republic kind of thing. It was negligible. Nobody cared about China. China? Who cares? America was 15 times larger than China. America's way stronger, more powerful, militarily more prepared than China. But get this. Now, in 2019, 2020, U.S. and China economies are pretty much neck and neck.
And their military is outpacing us.
Yeah. We're still larger than Russia by a long shot. But, friends, U.S. and China economies pretty much neck and neck now. Now, see, that's the difference. So, in other words, by the ordination of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, God is providentially and sovereignly over all the nations, given. You agree with that? That's a given.
Yep.
So if God is over the nations, and if he has ordained that China be effectively a competitor, an economic competitor riding neck and neck with the United States, my friends, then we are dealing with a world power that is about to shift as the most powerful nation in the world shifts to China. The U.S. economy at this point is leading by $7 trillion. On exchange rate basis, but the economy of China is leading on the purchasing power parity basis. So there's two bases, and it's sort of hard to figure out which is more important. The Chinese economy is leading by $6 trillion on the purchasing power parity basis, and the U.S. economy is leading by $7 trillion on the exchange rate basis. So it's sort of neck and neck. The best way to say it is at this point in history, even though some 30 years ago, America was 15 times larger, significantly ahead of China, and could have crushed China just like that. Now, these nations are neck and neck with each other. China is ahead of the United States in agriculture and industry. America's agricultural output is only 18% of China's and 78% of the Chinese industry. So the United States is behind on all of that except for the United States is ahead in the services sector by a significant portion. That is, America has more McDonald's and Subways than China at this point.
It's not only that China has exceeded in those areas, they're exceeding in their influence around the world, including our neighbor to the north, Canada.
Okay.
Documents have surfaced that reveal that Canada planned winter training with Chinese troops.
Wow.
And it was only it was only squashed and canceled after the U.S. objected to it. But China and Canada are holding hands and courting each other.
It seems the balance of powers is shifting and the United States is increasingly alone in geopolitics, my friends. That's where it seems things are at this point. But don't forget, that's the Lord who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. That's Daniel chapter 2. And then Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, the decision is the decree of the watchers, the verdict declared by the Holy One, so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over the kingdom of mankind. That is God, the sovereign God, the one and only true and living God, is the ruler over all of the kingdoms of men. And he gives it to whomever he wills, setting over at the lowliest of men. And here's another key verse I take from Psalm 75. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west. So it doesn't come from China. It doesn't come from America. Isn't that interesting? Exaltation doesn't come from the east or the west. It doesn't come from the south either. But listen to this. God is the judge.
Yep.
He puts down one and exalts another. So friends, as Christians, we just need to remember this kind of thing. Now, I think another big takeaway is America was blessed by God, largely because, I believe, the mercies of God. But also, there was a Christian influence. There was a humility. There was a willingness to repent of sin. The Great Awakening had influence upon America. There was a great deal of true, heartfelt repentance that came by the preaching of guys like Jonathan Edwards and the Wesleys in Whitfield. So, friends, remember that America has a soft heart at points in history. I think America repented to some degree under the revivals of Dwight L. Moody in the 1870s and 1880s. And perhaps a little bit as a result of Billy Graham's work in the 1950s and 1960s. It's possible. But since the 1960s, America's heart has been hardened. Let's face it. We have seen that prayer has been outlawed in schools. We've seen billions of babies killed by abortifacients and by the surgical abortion since 1973. America's become very proud, godless in its schools, and decadent in terms of its sexuality and its slaughter of the innocents. That's where America is today. Unless America humbles itself, unless America fears God, unless America repents, unless that begins in the churches. Because remember, Bill, judgment begins in the household of God. So unless it begins in the churches, it's doubtful that America will be salvaged. I think that's where things are today, Bill.
Yeah, I grieve. I used to think for many years that we had experienced revival in the early 70s through the Jesus movement. And that was true, and that what we needed from that point forward was a reformation in our thinking. And now I am back to the point where I think we need a revival.
Yeah. It's revival or bust.
Yeah.
It's revival or bust.
It's we need to proclaim it's Jesus or the pit.
Amen. Amen. Friends, this is where we are. I think speaking, at least as somebody who's done some research and has completed a book called Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. What's going on? What's happening with Europe and America? Europe and America had a Christian heritage. There's no question about it. We had a Christian heritage that goes all the way back to King Alfred. It goes all the way back to Charlemagne. It goes all the way back to the missionary movement of the 600s and 700s. Okay, Europe and North America has a Christian heritage, and God has blessed the Western world with many economic, medical, technological, and social blessings. And we've had tremendous blessings. Think about all the blessings that God poured out upon this nation and other nations in the Western world. So we have a Christian heritage, but the Christian influence in the macro culture is gone. That's where we are right now. The Christian influence in the macro culture, that means the universities, the mass media, the scientific world, etc., the political world, the Christian influence in the macro culture is gone. Therefore, Western culture itself is being destroyed, and the nations are being humbled because we've turned away from God. Now the East and the South are in ascendance, and the East particularly is probably mostly in ascendance. Until the year 2000, Europe and North America produced over half of the gross world product. That peaked in 1960. That peaked in 1960. Take Europe and North America, divide it by the gross world product, and we were at 67%, Bill. That's how productive the Western world was. The Western world was producing 67% of the gross world product. This economic index has collapsed to 37% in 2015, and it could be somewhere around 30% now.
Wow.
So we've gone from 67%. That is ascendance. We had the Western world, the Christian-influenced Western world, dominated the entire world economically. Why? Well, the blessing of God upon the nations. And we had control of 67% of the gross world product in 1960. Now it's 37%, probably dropped off to 30% in the year 2020. So, friends, that's where we are. We've collapsed. We're half of what we were in 1960. We do not have the influence we had in 1960. Please understand, this is the fall of the West. First and foremost, this means that we no longer are supreme in the world economy. And the world is on notice. The economic dominoes are stacked closer in the international markets. And this itself will produce a profound impact on the whole world in the next century. The last two worldwide recessions were the worst, at least since 1929. Both were initiated by the United States in 2008 and then again in 2020. The American governments celebrated the recovery from the 2008 recession by doubling the debt-to-GDP ratio. That's how we celebrated it. There was no serious attempt to an economic recovery. By 2020, the United States has made up 52% of the gross world government debt. So we've got half of the world government debt. We only make up about 20% of the gross world product. But we get half of the world's debt. Of all the regions and continents in the world, North American governments maintain far and away the highest debt-to-GDP ratios, well exceeding 110%, now upwards of 120%, representing the most unstable economies in the world. So the United States federal government debt to GDP ratio is trailing just behind five collapsing economies right now: Japan, Greece, Portugal, Lebanon, and Italy. Okay? That's where we are right now. We're right there with the five worst economies in the world. Of the 200 countries, these have been labeled the worst economies in the world. By another metric, the International Monetary Fund put the United States as the fourth worst nation in the world for its debt-to-GDP ratio. By the metric net lending over borrowing, the United States is the third worst nation in the world, just behind two nations, Oman and Sudan. Okay, so if you want to know where we are, the United States, you know, out of the 200 nations in the world, Bill, there's Oman, Sudan, and the United States as the three worst nations in the world in terms of our debt to lending ratios.
Hey, thanks for kicking off a new year with this good news.
Well, that's where we are. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells us what? But the debtor is servant to the lender. And those that refuse to submit to God, rebel against God's laws, what happens to the nations? Well, according to that, they're going to be more of the tail, less of the head. They will be the servant, not the master. They will be the borrower and not the lender. And that's precisely what's going on, my friends, with the United States. And here's what's also interesting. Of the 10 largest militaries in the world, ranked by active military personnel today, 8 are communist, Eastern, and Muslim. Only the United States and South Korea are in the running. Only the United States and South Korea are in the running. We are outnumbered roughly 10 to 2 right now in the 10 largest militaries in the world ranked by active military personnel. But, of course, the United States is still up there in terms of military expenditures, but pretty much alone. That's what's interesting. America is pretty much alone. There aren't any other really powerful, important militaries that are anywhere near neck and neck with America. America is up against 8 other nations, most of which are unfriendlies. Of the top 10 most powerful militaries in the world at this point. So as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, friends, let me just go back to the original proposition. That is, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Bill, I think we're at the point where America will be humbled and there will be a realigning of affinities worldwide. I don't know if this will lead to a World War III or not, but it does appear that the United States will be more of the tail and less of the head, especially if we as a nation will not humble ourselves before God. I think we just got to be proud, Bill. We've got to be a proud nation. And then what comes after pride but a fall, similar to what happened, you know, in 2019. In 2019, what did we see? We saw America kick off the 50th anniversary of homosexual pride. And homosexual pride marches were all over the United States. It spread around the world because America tends to export its decadence and export its perversions. And so that pride was just saturating in all of our major cities in America in 2019 until 2020. And that's where we came face to face with COVID-19 and the economic collapse that followed.
Yeah.
Well, the moral of the story, friends, is humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Boy, that applies to every micro. That applies to every dad, every mom, every kid, every family, every church, and, of course, every nation. Boy, you talk about a principle that has 100 billion applications, Bill. There it is. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. That, I think, is the only message that we have to take to the nations at this point, especially to our nation, the United States. America is standing more or less alone. Yes, we have a little bit of assistance from the UK. Canada's not thrilled to really help us out anymore, Bill. And it's doubtful that the European Union will be on our side either. America alone. America against the world. I wonder who's going to win. Friends, it's time for us to just humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We are one of the largest debtor nations on earth. We are a nation that are on the very brink of economic collapse. We are a nation that is faced with enemies that may very well overwhelm us in the next 5, 10, 15 years. But if we humbled ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he would still preserve us. That's the lesson that our forefathers understood very, very well, especially during the war for this nation's independence, and of course, the Civil War. It was during those wars where our nation came face to face with that, and the U.S. Senate proclaimed days of prayer and fasting, as well as repentance. And if we repeat something like that, I think there may be some hope for the Republic. This is Kevin Swanson. I would encourage you to our book, America and God's Providence, as a 1,000-page, 500-year introduction or background introduction to what has happened thus far in the history of this Christian Republic. So it's America and God's Providence. And then, of course, the new book coming out soon, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, soon to come. and available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.